Things might not be how you want them to be right now. You may not be where you want to be in life right now, or who you want to be. Maybe you're facing confusion, uncertainty, a storm of pressure, and the weight of expectations. But here's what the Stoics would remind you. Life is not meant to be free from hardship. The Stoics never asked for ease. They knew life wasn't easy, and they wouldn't want it any other way. Because adversity builds character. It shapes us, chisels away the illusions, the ego, the weakness, and in that process, it builds mental resilience. It teaches us how to truly live, not in denial of struggle, but in deep understanding of it. Because it is through hardship that we become more adept in all aspects of life, to learn, to love, to endure, and to rise, not in comfort, but in strength. Things may be very difficult right now. You may be dealing with heartbreak, financial strain, loneliness, illness, or deep disappointment. Things may even be tragic, but remember this: this too shall pass. Nothing is forever, not even the storm. Hardship and tragedy touch us all, no matter how prepared we think we are. And they will continue to. Not because life is unfair, but because hardship is part of life's natural rhythm. Whenever a tough time passes and we survive it, we come out on the other side stronger. Don't fool yourself. Another hard time will come. Another challenge will arise. But you'll face it differently. You'll face it as someone who's already endured. The pain of yesterday becomes the armor for tomorrow. These experiences are not just obstacles, they are training. Lessons in emotional stability, in patience, in discipline. Lessons in controlling your mind, strengthening your spirit, and even caring for your body through crisis. The gift of life is a rarity, a miracle, a luxury beyond measure. Every morning when we wake up and open our eyes, those first moments of awareness, that initial breath filling our lungs, this is already a victory. That breath is proof that you're still in the game. Yesterday was not guaranteed, and tomorrow is not owed. Today is all we have, and we must learn to cherish that. This concept may seem simple, but it's revolutionary in how it alters your relationship with life. Reflect on this daily. Let it guide you. Once you start to realize how precious and how delicate the gift of life is, your stress won't disappear, but it will shrink in significance. Nothing can truly stop you, and nothing should bring you down longer than it absolutely needs to, because you know the value of your breath, your heartbeat, your time. We are human, and things will affect us. Pain will touch us. Our emotions will fluctuate. We will grieve. We will feel doubt. We will get tired. Tragedy will strike, and we must give ourselves permission to feel it. We are not robots. We are not invulnerable. But we must also know when to draw the line. We must give our sorrow a room to visit, not a place to live. We feel the emotions, but we do not allow them to consume and control us. The Stoic path is not about becoming emotionally numb. It's about emotional maturity. It is about mastering yourself so that the outside world no longer decides the outcome of your peace, so that your spirit, not circumstance, holds the pen that writes your story. Let us begin this journey. Let us uncover what it truly means to win, not in spite of struggle, but because of it. Chapter 1. You're winning if you endured. You survived something that was meant to break you. That alone is a victory. Whether it was heartbreak, illness, financial ruin, or a loss so deep it shook your sense of identity, you withstood it. It didn't end you. It didn't define you. You kept going. And that perseverance, even if unnoticed by the world, is the essence of Stoic victory. We often forget that simply enduring is a form of success. Society measures us by accolades, likes, promotions, followers, and shiny accomplishments. We're told that if we don't have tangible trophies, we're losing. But the Stoics taught something radically different, something truer and far more lasting. They understood that real victory happens behind closed doors, in the silence of the mind, in the unseen battles of the soul, in the moments when no one is watching, when no applause is coming, when all you have is your breath, your pain, and your persistence. That is where greatness begins. When we're caught in the middle of pain or failure or fear, we only see the weight. We fixate on what went wrong. We feel the discomfort, the sting of disappointment, the heaviness of doubt. But we rarely notice the strength it takes to carry it, to not collapse under it. That strength is invisible, yet it is everything. Marcus Aurelius reminds us, to endure is to conquer. He wrote, "If you are distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it, and this you have the power to revoke at any moment." This one insight is revolutionary. It's the Stoics' call to inner power. It's a recognition that our suffering is never only about the event. It's about our interpretation. It's about the meaning we give to what happens. Change that meaning, and everything shifts. To endure pain, to go through something hard, and to still wake up, show up, try again, that's not weakness. That's strength. That's mastery. It's the ability to walk through chaos and not lose yourself. To remain true to your values, even when life pushes against them. It's the courage to keep your heart open after betrayal, to keep striving after repeated failure, to maintain self-respect in a world that forgets the importance of dignity. The Stoics weren't concerned with outward success as the world defines it. They were concerned with who you are when things fall apart. That's the true metric. We shouldn't only measure ourselves by what we achieve or how productive we were. We should measure how resilient we've become. How many times we kept breathing through the fire. How deeply we've learned to keep walking when everything inside of us said stop. Because it's not about avoiding pain. It's about being forged by it, shaped through it, transformed by it into someone stronger, wiser, calmer. Resilience is quiet. It's not in the loud announcements or big wins. It's not in the perfect Instagram post or public praise. It's in the person who cried alone in the car and still went to work. It's in the one who got ghosted, heartbroken, dismissed, and still chose kindness. In the one who got rejected and still applied again with humility. In the one who failed and still believed it was worth trying. In the one who faced overwhelming fear, whose knees were shaking, but still stepped forward. In the one who had every reason to give up, but didn't. The quiet warrior, the invisible champion, the soul that bleeds in silence but rises anyway. You are that person. You are the one who presses forward without the applause, who fights invisible battles while wearing a calm face. You are already winning in ways others cannot see. Wins not broadcast, but deeply embedded into the core of who you are becoming. Your victories may not fill a trophy case, but they are real, enduring, and profound. You are winning in ways that are foundational, internal, unshakable, rooted not in how others see you, but in how you choose to live each day despite your challenges. You are practicing strength by simply being present. You are practicing courage by choosing hope over despair. You are practicing wisdom by deciding to grow, even through pain. These are the victories that no one can take from you. They are not subject to market value, not measured by followers or fame. They don't fade under scrutiny. They don't rust when neglected. They last a lifetime because they are woven into the fabric of your character. They are the kind of victories that echo quietly but eternally through every kind action you choose, every mindful breath you take, and every storm you weather without bitterness. And the more you recognize them, the more you strengthen them, the more you honor them, reflect on them, and let them inform the way you walk through the world, the more unbreakable you become, not because the world changed, but because you did. That is true Stoic triumph. That is real success. Every evening, reflect on one moment in your day that was difficult, and instead of thinking how it hurt you, think about how you got through it. This builds internal recognition of your endurance and retrains your mind to see strength where you once only saw struggle. Chapter 2: The Scoreboard Lies. True progress is internal. In a world obsessed with metrics, we think if we don't have the money, status, relationships, or body we want, we're behind. From a young age, we're taught to keep score based on external symbols of success. Report cards, trophies, awards, job titles, follower counts. These things become the ruler we press against our self-worth. We begin to internalize a dangerous lie that our value is contingent on visible accomplishments. But what if we stepped back and asked a more essential question? Who are we becoming? What if we began to judge our lives not by surface appearances, but by the strength of our convictions, the clarity of our thoughts, and the peace in our hearts? What if true success had nothing to do with others seeing our progress, and everything to do with us being at peace with the person we are when the lights are off and no one is watching? Seneca said, "It is not the man who has too little, but the man who craves more, that is poor." This truth cuts deep through the illusions of modern life. We've been told to hustle, to grind, to constantly aim higher. But no one tells us that endless craving robs us of presence. No one tells us that always chasing the next thing can leave us blind to what we already have. You are not poor if you're building self-respect. You are not failing if you are choosing peace over chaos, especially when the chaos would have been your comfort zone in the past. You are not lost if you are questioning your path instead of blindly walking it. In fact, questioning means you're awake. It means you're thinking for yourself. That in itself is progress. Self-inquiry is one of the most powerful tools for liberation. To pause and ask yourself, "Is this truly what I want?" That's the beginning of wisdom. If you look at who you were 6 months ago, 1 year ago, have you become more aware of yourself? Are you more thoughtful, more controlled, more open to reflection? Are your reactions slower, your words more intentional, your presence more grounded? Are you able to sit with discomfort without needing to numb it right away? Are you recognizing your triggers before they control you? That's winning. That's the work the world cannot see, but that you carry into every room, every relationship, every decision. Because the world might not see it yet, but when the inside changes, the outside eventually reflects it. All lasting transformation begins invisibly. The mindset that once sabotaged you now pauses. The behavior that once derailed you now gets questioned. That is evolution in motion. That is what growth really looks like. Quiet, slow, profound. Growth is not always linear. You may stumble. You may fall back into old patterns. You may repeat lessons that you thought you had learned. Sometimes you'll feel like you're taking 3 steps forward and 5 steps back, and that can feel disheartening. But that doesn't mean you're back at square one. It means you're human. It means your healing process is real, dynamic, and alive. Growth is like climbing a spiral staircase. You may pass the same emotional landscape, but now you see it from a higher vantage point. What used to paralyze you now only slows you. What used to drown you now makes you pause and float. You're moving, even if it feels like circling. With each turn of that staircase, your perspective sharpens. You carry the lessons of each stumble. You develop emotional muscles, patience, restraint, understanding that were once foreign to you. Even when you repeat the same mistake, you often recover faster. You notice sooner, you forgive yourself more easily. This is not failure. This is a deeper form of success. Conscious, imperfect evolution. Self-awareness is a powerful upgrade. It is not the absence of error, but the presence of clarity. It doesn't eliminate mistakes or missteps. It transforms how we respond to them. Once your mind has expanded through experience, through the crucible of reflection or the ache of pain, it does not return to its original state. You see the world differently, but more importantly, you see yourself differently. You realize you are not your worst day. You are not your most shameful moment. You are the one who noticed. You are the one who stood back and asked, "Why did I react that way?" You are the one willing to do the hard work of changing. You have tasted insight. You have seen your mind from above, detached from ego and impulse, and that changes you. That awareness is the seed of all wisdom. You cannot unsee what you've come to understand. You cannot unknow the truths you've stared in the face during long nights and quiet mornings. You cannot pretend not to know what you now know. Even in your weakest moments, you carry the echoes of your progress. You are not starting from scratch. You are starting from experience. Your past has not vanished. It has seasoned you. Even your failures, your stumbles, your regressions, they are now tools in your hands rather than weights on your back. You have learned how to study them, how to stand among your ruins and find structure again. You may visit the same pain again, but you won't arrive as the same person. You'll bring more tools, more wisdom, more inner space. You'll breathe more deeply and see more clearly. You'll recognize the pattern not as punishment, but as practice. You'll respond instead of reacting. You'll pause when once you spiraled. You'll honor your growth rather than denying your struggle. Because every time you return to something painful, it becomes less about suffering and more about integration. That is what growth looks like. That is what self-mastery feels like. And that makes all the difference. Because with every return, you bring more wisdom, you bring more grace, you bring more strength, more stability, more trust in yourself. And each time you do, you show yourself that growth is not about perfection. It's about devotion. It's about continuing to show up with humility and courage again and again. It's about staying in the arena even when the crowd is gone, showing up for yourself when no one else sees the work, and refusing to be defined by the past. That is how we win, slowly, steadily, and from within. That is how the Stoics endured. That is how we don't just survive, but grow, evolve, and build lives of real and lasting substance. Each week, journal about one old habit or mindset you've slowly been shedding. Acknowledge it. Track your internal progress. If your thoughts are getting wiser, more compassionate, more focused, you're growing. Chapter 3. Control is the root of calm. Epictetus made a distinction that transformed the Stoic worldview. Some things are up to us, and some things are not. That one idea is liberation. It draws a clear boundary between what belongs to us and what never did. It is a compass when life feels overwhelming. It is a boundary between chaos and clarity, between constant anxiety and deep serenity. Once you internalize this truth, you begin to shift your emotional weight. You stop fighting battles that were never yours to win in the first place. You stop gripping so tightly to outcomes and begin trusting your efforts. You are not obligated to control every outcome. You are responsible for your intentions, your thoughts, your actions, your values. That is your sphere of power. That's where your strength lives. The rest, the timing, the recognition, the other people's responses, the ultimate results, is not in your hands. You may influence, but you do not control. And this is not weakness, it is wisdom. When you operate from this understanding, you become lighter. You start living with less tension, less self-punishment. You stop blaming yourself for things outside your reach. You stop tying your self-worth to things that were never within your domain to begin with. Most of our stress comes from resisting this truth. We try to control perception, how others see us. We carefully curate our image, walk on eggshells, and lose sleep over how we're being perceived. We try to control success, forcing outcomes on our timeline, tying our self-worth to how quickly we arrive. We try to control the future, planning every step with clenched fists, believing we can predict, prevent, and outmaneuver every difficulty. But control is a seductive illusion. The more we cling to it, the heavier life becomes. We carry a mental and emotional load that drains us, not because we're incapable, but because we're misplacing our efforts. We pour our energy into the uncontrollable, leaving little left for the part of life that is actually ours to shape. Reality humbles us, and it's supposed to. Life, by design, reminds us that we are participants, not directors, that we can influence outcomes, but not guarantee them. The more you try to force the river, the more exhausted you become. The more you resist what you cannot change, the more inner conflict you create. You begin to live in a state of tension, tightening around every uncertainty. But here's the shift. When you finally start focusing solely on what's within your control, stress doesn't just lessen, it transforms. You stop feeling victimized by the unknown. You begin to accept the unknown with steady hands. The noise in your mind quiets. You make better choices. You act with clarity. You speak with presence. You live with grace. You let go of your obsession with outcomes and learn to love the integrity of effort. This is not passivity. This is the highest form of wisdom. It is an intentional choice to spend your energy where it matters. This is strategic energy use. This is not surrender. It's refinement. It's not indifference. It's accuracy. This is focused discipline, the sharpness of a mind that no longer leaks energy into every uncertainty. You don't waste time arguing with life. Instead, you align yourself with it, like a ship catching wind, not fighting it. You begin to ask better questions. What would courage look like right now? Or, how do I respond in a way that honors my values? Instead of, how do I fix this outcome? You start thinking in terms of character, not control. You stop chasing applause and start seeking alignment. You focus on the quality of your response, not the speed of the result. And that subtle shift makes all the difference. That is the Stoic transformation. It's not just about peace. It's about precision. It's about learning how to steer yourself while the world churns around you. It's not rigid. It's resilient. You stop trying to command the wind, and instead, you master your sail. You guide yourself forward with calm and clarity, and in doing so, you discover that you can navigate any storm, not by dominating it, but by understanding it. Start each day with a quick list. What can I control today? What can I not? Keep it in your notes app. Throughout the day, when stress arises, refer to it. This trains detachment and clarity. Chapter 4. Emotional mastery is the quiet superpower. You're not weak because you feel. The Stoics never denied emotion. They understood it, welcomed it, but never allowed it to rule. They knew emotion was part of being human, part of our nature, part of the soul's honest response to life. But they also knew that to be led entirely by those emotions would make us slaves to fortune. Emotions are natural. What matters is how we engage with them. What matters is whether we are guided by reason or overwhelmed by reactivity. Mastery, for the Stoic, is never about being unfeeling. It is about using feeling wisely instead of letting it use you. There's power in feeling pain and still choosing clarity. There's courage in having fear but acting anyway. There's wisdom in not reacting immediately to a provocation. This isn't suppression, it's precision. It's the difference between being consumed by the fire and learning how to sit beside it. The Stoic doesn't pretend the fire isn't there. They simply learn not to throw themselves into it. Emotions are like waves. They rise, they fall. The question is whether you surf them or drown beneath them. To have mastery over your emotions is to feel them fully, but to pause, to inquire, and to choose your next move with intention. To ask yourself, is this reaction aligned with who I want to be? Emotional mastery is choosing to remain grounded when every part of you wants to explode. It's refusing to let momentary feelings make permanent decisions. Strength is not about having no emotion, it's about not becoming the emotion. It's about not identifying with the storm. That's how you remain unmoved in chaos. That's how you maintain peace when others spiral. Your calm becomes your compass. Your steadiness becomes a shield, not only for yourself, but for those around you. You become the person people look to in crisis, not because you don't feel, but because you've learned how to feel without falling apart. Because you've trained yourself to hold the line between stimulus and response, and in doing so, you become a force of stability in an unstable world. This level of control doesn't arrive by accident. It is forged through daily practice, through moments of reflection, through the discipline of self-honesty, through letting your emotions pass through you without needing to act on them right away. It's built each time you catch yourself before you lash out, each time you breathe through the pain instead of numbing it, each time you choose understanding over outrage, each time you resist the urge to defend your ego and instead respond from your higher self. Emotional mastery requires repetition, humility, and patience. It means practicing restraint not once, but over and over again, until it becomes second nature. It means embracing discomfort without rushing to escape it, choosing to learn from your feelings rather than silence them. This work is invisible but profound. It shows up in the pauses you take before speaking, the depth of listening you bring to conversations, and the grace you extend to yourself in moments of emotional turbulence. It is built when you take responsibility for your inner world instead of projecting it outward. Emotional mastery is not about control through suppression. It's about harmony through understanding. It's the willingness to hold space for sadness, to acknowledge anger, to sit with fear without becoming it. It's about knowing that emotions are messengers, not enemies. That even the most uncomfortable feeling is there to teach you something, if you're willing to listen. It's understanding that wisdom often lies just beneath the surface of emotional chaos. Every emotional storm is a test, not a test to be perfect, but to be conscious, to be aware of what's rising in you and to honor it with presence, not panic, to remain grounded when your instincts want to run, to feel the thunder without letting it deafen you. You become a guardian of your peace, not through denial, but through discernment. You learn to observe, pause, and then choose your next step with integrity. To act from wisdom, not from wound. To speak from healing, not from hurt. That is emotional mastery. That is real power. That is the quiet force the Stoics cultivated. And you can too. And when you commit to this path, you don't just become less reactive. You become more free. Because the person who governs their own emotions cannot be controlled by the world. When emotion rises, give it a name. Say it. This is anger. This is fear. Naming it creates distance between you and it. Then ask, what would my higher self do now? This puts logic before reaction. Chapter 5. Gratitude is not delusion, it's power. Practice morning gratitude anchoring. Before looking at your phone, say aloud three things you're thankful for that are already yours, even if it's just breath, sight, and the roof over your head. This sets the tone for the day. The Stoics practiced negative visualization, not to become pessimistic, but to never take anything for granted. Seneca advised imagining life without the things you love, to remember their value. He believed that the deliberate reflection on loss didn't diminish life, it made it brighter. By picturing the absence of what we cherish, we sharpen our awareness of its presence. This is not about scaring ourselves, but about waking up to the beauty already in front of us. It's about realizing how much of what we need is already within reach, and how much of what we overlook is actually sacred. Every breath, every conversation, every sip of water, we miss these blessings when we chase what's missing. We get so used to the familiar that we forget it is a gift. The smell of morning coffee, the sound of someone's laughter, the feeling of warm sunlight through a window, these are the treasures of life that we so often overlook. But when we reverse the lens, when we turn our focus from what we lack to what we have, we remember we're already rich, already whole. The Stoic sees this wealth not in gold or praise, but in presence, in simplicity, in the internal abundance that no thief can steal and no market can crash. Gratitude doesn't require that everything be perfect, only that we see things clearly. And when we do, we discover that the ordinary is actually extraordinary. Life can always be worse. It can also always be better. But contentment doesn't wait for perfection. It lives in the present, in awareness, in perspective. Gratitude is not delusion. It's truth. It's clarity. It's the ability to look around at your current reality and say, "This is enough," to say this or something better. That doesn't mean you don't strive. It doesn't mean you settle. But it does mean you learn how to appreciate the ground you're standing on while you're reaching for something higher. Because what you appreciate, appreciates. Gratitude transforms your relationship with ambition. It softens it, realigns it. It reminds you that the goal is not just to get more, but to feel more connected to what you already have. When you wake up and see what you do have clearly, your stress weakens. The pressure begins to dissolve. You begin to see that you're not as far behind as your mind made you believe. You begin to feel a sense of peace, not because everything is perfect, but because you finally realize not everything needs to be. Gratitude interrupts the cycle of never enough. It grounds you in the abundance that is already present. And the more often you pause to take inventory of your blessings, the more your lens shifts from lack to love, from scarcity to sufficiency. This is not about pretending life isn't hard. It's about realizing that within the hardness, there are still gifts. Even in suffering, there's something to learn, something to hold on to. A moment of resilience, a glimmer of love, a piece of wisdom. Even a moment of silence can be a teacher. Gratitude turns survival into reverence. It shifts your attention from what hurts to what helps, from what's missing to what remains. It gives color back to a gray world. It teaches us to see not just the light at the end of the tunnel, but the light that flickers along the way. The soft, quiet beauty that lives inside ordinary things. The way a breeze brushes your skin. The way a stranger holds the door. The breath you didn't realize you were holding. The moment your favorite song comes on in traffic. When you train yourself to search for the light, you find it in the smallest places. In a smile, in a breath, in a breeze, in the warmth of a meal, in the presence of someone who cares, in the strength to try again, in your ability to keep showing up when everything in you wants to quit. And that mindset shift can change everything. It turns anxiety into awareness. It transforms fear into reverence. It turns the ordinary into a miracle. It makes you a student of the present moment. It shows you that peace is not found at the top of the mountain, but in every step of the climb, in every pause for breath, in every act of kindness, in every second of stillness. It shows you that you don't have to have everything to be at peace. You just have to be awake to what you already have. Gratitude isn't about ignoring the shadows. It's about remembering there's light too. It reminds you that right here in this moment, there is still something good, something sacred, something worthy of your attention, something worth holding on to. That is the power of gratitude. And the Stoics knew, when you master gratitude, you master your life. Chapter 6, the discipline of showing up. Discipline is not punishment, it is devotion. It is not restriction, it is liberation through structure. It's waking up each day and showing up for your life, even when you don't feel like it. Especially when you don't feel like it. The Stoics believed in this kind of discipline, not for the sake of control, but for the cultivation of inner strength. Marcus Aurelius wrote in his Meditations, "At dawn, when you have trouble getting out of bed, tell yourself, 'I have to go to work, as a human being.'" This wasn't self-shaming, it was self-reminding. To show up for your duties is to align with your purpose. Whether your work is grand or humble, whether it is glamorous or unnoticed, it is yours. And showing up with intention is an act of power. It's the decision to not let your moods dictate your day. It's resisting the lure of procrastination, distraction, and doubt. Discipline, in the Stoic sense, is not driven by perfectionism. It's not about being the best. It's about being consistent. It's about honoring your commitments even when your motivation is gone. It's the quiet courage of doing what needs to be done, even when no one is applauding. The Stoic shows up because it's right, not because it's easy or immediately rewarding. Every time you show up when you don't feel like it, you cast a vote for the person you want to become. You lay another brick in the foundation of your future self. You reinforce your identity, not just with words or intentions, but with action. You remind yourself that your standards matter more than your feelings. Every time you stick to the process instead of obsessing over the outcome, you become more rooted. You detach from the highs and lows and become grounded in effort. Life won't always offer you ideal conditions. The path will not always be well lit or paved. The mind will offer you a thousand reasons to delay. But every time you act despite resistance, you prove to yourself that you are stronger than your feelings. That is where real confidence is born. Not in the absence of self-doubt, but in your refusal to be led by it. Not in motivation, which is fleeting, but in action, which endures. Showing up is also about presence. It's not just doing the thing, it's being there while you do it. Being engaged, awake, and willing to meet the moment fully. When you commit to the task, the moment, the person in front of you, you transform effort into meaning. You transform routine into ritual. You don't need to wait for passion to act. Action creates momentum. Momentum builds trust. Trust builds identity, and identity becomes the framework through which your discipline flows. Soon, discipline is no longer something you force. It becomes a reflection of who you are, a mirror of your values. You are no longer performing for external validation. You are acting in integrity, and that is the mark of someone who is truly free. Choose one area of your life where you've been inconsistent. Create a simple daily commitment. It can be small, 10 minutes of journaling, a short walk, stretching before bed. Focus not on intensity, but on frequency. The goal is to train the muscle of showing up. Chapter 7. Your response is always your responsibility. The world will test you. People will offend you. Things will go wrong. But the Stoics taught that your power lies not in what happens, but in how you choose to respond. Viktor Frankl, a Holocaust survivor and psychologist, wrote, "Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. That space, that pause, is sacred. It is the birthplace of wisdom. In that small moment, you reclaim agency. You become the author of your behavior instead of its victim. Emotional outbursts, blame, resentment. These are reactions born from habit, not clarity. But when you pause, you reclaim clarity. You step into the role of the observer. You ask yourself, what outcome do I truly want here? It's not easy. In fact, it's one of the hardest things you'll practice. Because the ego always wants to be right. The pain always wants to speak first, and the mind in its desperation for control or validation, can create narratives that fuel conflict instead of resolution. But this is where the Stoic separates themselves. The Stoic holds the line. The Stoic doesn't collapse into reactivity. They breathe, they wait, they listen inwardly before responding outwardly. They remember, I cannot control this person, this situation, this outcome, but I can always control my response. That one choice is the foundation of true freedom. When you learn to delay reaction, you build character. When you pause instead of snapping back, you interrupt cycles that have ruled you for years. It doesn't mean you don't feel emotion. It means you're no longer a prisoner to it. It's like strengthening a muscle. The more you do it, the more natural it becomes. Over time, your responses begin to reflect who you want to be, not who your emotions temporarily turn you into. And in doing so, you create a life that is no longer reactive, but intentional. A life where dignity is your default, not just an ideal. A life where you don't leave behind regret in your words, because you chose them with care. This is not about denying your truth, it's about expressing it with wisdom. It's about becoming someone who doesn't escalate chaos, but softens it. Someone who can face provocation and still choose peace, not because you are weak, but because you are in command of yourself. And that is the highest strength. Next time you feel triggered, practice the pause. Literally count to five in your head. In that pause, breathe. Ask yourself, will my response add peace to this moment or more chaos? Choose peace, not out of weakness, but out of strength. Chapter 8. Embrace the present or waste it. The Stoics did not waste time. They saw time as the one resource that, once spent, could never be returned. Seneca wrote, "People are frugal in guarding their personal property, but as soon as it comes to squandering time, they are most wasteful of the one thing in which it is right to be stingy. You are alive now, not yesterday, not tomorrow, now. And to forget that is to live like someone asleep while the clock ticks. Every second that passes is a second you will never get back. Each day that slips through your fingers is a chapter you could have written but didn't." And the Stoics saw this with clear eyes. They didn't romanticize tomorrow. They respected today. Distraction is the silent killer of presence. We are often physically in one place, but mentally in another, replaying the past or fast-forwarding to the future. Our hands move, but our hearts are absent. But the Stoics taught that the only real life we ever live is the one happening in the present moment. The past is out of reach, the future is uncertain, but the present is your arena, your power, your opportunity to live fully. This moment holds your ability to choose, to feel, to act with integrity. The Stoic does not wait for a better time. They recognize this moment as the only time. When you truly live in the present, you begin to experience things differently. Ordinary moments become vivid. Conversations deepen. Silence becomes sacred. You notice your breath. You hear the wind. You savor your food. You actually taste the coffee, feel the warmth of the sun, witness the miracle of simply being alive. And in doing so, you realize how much beauty you were missing by rushing through life. We don't often need more. We need to pay attention to what we already have. Presence doesn't mean life becomes perfect. It means you stop missing it while waiting for it to become something else. It means you stop postponing your peace, your joy, your worth. This moment, no matter how imperfect, is enough. It's where your choices live. It's where your courage lives. It's where your life is being built. You cannot go back and relive yesterday. You cannot control the outcome of tomorrow, but you can live the hell out of today. You can stand firmly in the now and make it meaningful. You can stop waiting for life to start and recognize that it's already happening. The Stoics knew this. That's why they meditated on death. not to be grim, but to awaken to the urgency of living. Because when you face the truth that your time is limited, you begin to live unlimited by fear, by delay, by distraction. You begin to truly be alive. Set one intention each day to return to the present. It can be as simple as one mindful breath before opening your phone or putting your hand on your heart when your thoughts begin to spiral. Train yourself to return, again and again, to the now. Chapter 9. You don't need to rush, you need to trust. The modern world is addicted to urgency, faster, bigger, more, now. But urgency is not the same as progress. Rushing is not the same as moving forward. The Stoics were deliberate, not frantic. They trusted the process of growth. They knew that some things take time, and trying to force them only delays them further. They understood that fruit picked too soon is bitter, and wisdom gathered in haste often lacks depth. Progress that is forced becomes fragile, but growth that is nurtured becomes unshakable. Haste chases surface-level wins. Patience cultivates deep, meaningful transformation. You don't have to figure everything out today. You don't have to fix your whole life by next week. You just have to keep walking. One step, one breath, one clear choice at a time. That's enough. That's everything. Trust builds momentum. Momentum builds mastery. And mastery builds peace. This is the Stoic rhythm of patience in action. It's not loud, it's not flashy, it's quiet, grounded, and consistent. It shows up in the slow grind, in the repetition of showing up, even when nothing seems to change. Every small act of faith in the process, every moment you choose steadiness over panic, is a brick laid in the foundation of your future self. You show yourself that strength is not in speed, but in your ability to stay with something long enough for it to bloom. That's how real transformation takes root. It's slow, it's deep, it's durable. This is how we earn trust in ourselves, not by rushing to the finish line, but by continuing to show up, faithfully, patiently, calmly. Each day you walk with presence instead of pressure. You develop an inner steadiness that no failure can shake. You learn to rest in your own rhythm. You stop living by the artificial pace set by others, and instead, you move with integrity. You come to understand that life is not a sprint, it's a lifelong dialogue with the self. You don't arrive, you become. When you slow down, you gain clarity. You begin to hear your own voice again. You notice the noise that isn't yours. You begin to recognize what matters and what's just distraction. You create space for reflection, not reaction. You start asking better questions, not what should I be doing to look successful, but what do I need right now to be whole? You realize that not every opportunity is meant for you, that not every door needs to be opened right now, that true growth is about depth, not just speed. You begin to see that quality outlives quantity and sustainability beats spectacle. You start letting go of what was never yours to carry. You trade urgency for presence. You trade frenzy for purpose. Rushing is often driven by fear, fear of being left behind, of not being enough, of missing out. But trust is rooted in strength. It allows you to pace yourself, to focus, to breathe, to give yourself room to think, to heal, to grow where you're planted instead of chasing what isn't ripe. It invites peace into the process. It reminds you that life is not a series of emergencies to solve, but a canvas to shape. It whispers, "You're not behind, you're right on time." And in that mindset, you stop racing against life and start walking with it. You begin to find joy not just in reaching the peak, but in becoming the kind of person who climbs with grace. Write down three areas of your life where you feel rushed, then ask, "What would this look like if I trusted the timing instead of forcing it?" Let that question guide you for the next week. Chapter 10. Don't stress. You are already winning. This is the final reminder. If you are still here, still standing, still trying, you are winning. Not in some hypothetical future, but right now. Life will never be free of struggle. But struggle is not the opposite of success. It is the soil from which success grows. The Stoics never sought an easy life. They sought a meaningful one. And meaning is found not in perfection, but in perseverance. It's found in the quiet courage to keep showing up, again and again, regardless of the chaos or the odds. It's found in the invisible victories, getting out of bed on hard days, offering kindness in dark times, choosing hope when nothing makes sense. You've survived days you thought would break you. You've grown through pain that once overwhelmed you. You've adapted, evolved, and stayed on the path when you had every reason to give up. That is strength. That is grace. That is proof. You are already living with the courage the Stoics revered. You are already practicing resilience, even if you don't see it. You are not behind. You are not failing. You are becoming. Every difficult day you've endured has been shaping you. Every tear, every heartbreak, every trial, it's been making you wiser, deeper, more compassionate. Your scars are not signs of failure, they are signs of survival. The next time stress visits, meet it like a warrior. Ask, is this within my control? If yes, act. If no, release. Return to your breath. Return to the present. Return to your center. Return to the truth. You've made it this far, not because life was easy, but because you are strong, because you kept going, because something in you refused to quit. Even if it wasn't graceful, even if it didn't look impressive, you endured. And that endurance has power. You are not losing. You are learning. You are building. You are becoming more aware, more focused, more resilient with every passing challenge. You are evolving with each moment you choose reflection over reaction. You are sharpening your self-awareness every time you slow down to listen to your inner voice instead of the noise outside. You are becoming someone who lives with depth, with intention, with presence, even if the outside world hasn't noticed yet. You are winning every time you choose discipline over distraction, calm over chaos, presence over panic. These aren't small choices. These are foundations. Each one builds upon the last. Each one forms a piece of your inner fortress, a place that stays steady even when the winds of life blow hard. You are winning every time you resist the urge to quit, every time you put one foot in front of the other, every time you choose to believe that today matters, even when it's quiet, even when no one claps. You are winning each time you pause instead of reacting, reflect instead of spiraling, breathe instead of breaking. You are cultivating clarity. You are becoming someone who thinks before they speak, who grounds before they act. That's not just maturity, it's mastery. Keep going. Because this process you're in is not just change, it's creation. You are already enough. You always have been. You are not waiting to be whole. You are remembering that you always were. And the world may not always see your progress, but that doesn't mean it's not happening. Progress often grows silently, away from applause, deep beneath the surface of your everyday life. Just because it's not public doesn't mean it's not powerful. Just because others don't witness the steps you've taken doesn't make them any less worthy. The moments you've chosen to try again, to breathe deeply instead of reacting, to sit with discomfort instead of running, those are victories too. Some of the most profound growth happens in the shadows, in quiet mornings, in private journaling, in silent battles, in the choices you make when no one is watching, in the strength it takes to keep going when doubt whispers louder than hope. Growth is often invisible until it's undeniable. It doesn't always come with clarity, but with subtle shifts. Your tone softens, your habits change, your vision sharpens. You handle challenges with more grace. You walk with more self-respect. You forgive yourself quicker. It reveals itself in the way you don't collapse the way you once would have. It becomes visible in your posture, your patience, your persistence. And when it shows in the way you carry yourself, in the way you speak, in the peace you radiate, in the light you bring to dark rooms, in the strength you offer without making noise about it. Keep going. You are winning in ways that cannot be measured, but they are real, and they are yours. You are building something resilient within you. The world might not hand you a medal for it, but life will reward you with something far more enduring, inner peace, self-trust, and the quiet knowing that you are doing the work, that you are becoming, that you are already so much more than you give yourself credit for. Write a letter to your past self, acknowledging what you've overcome. Then write a message to your future self, reminding them of who they are becoming. Let it serve as proof that you are already winning. Every single day you choose to stay in the fight.